Welcome to the Everyday PM Podcast, the podcast where we discuss project management principles for your everyday life. My name is Ann Campia, and I'm a certified project/program manager with a decade of experience working for healthcare, retail, consumer goods, and tech industries. I'm so excited to have you all join us for this week's topic on the importance of planning. Also joining me is Ryan Myers, operations manager and senior PM for Haven Agency. Welcome back to the podcast, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, Ann, for having me back. Excited to talk about this stuff with you.
Yeah, I think we're in the thick of it right now. So we'll dive into the topic in just a second here. But for our avid listeners, if you remember, Ryan did join me for previous podcasts. We talked about scope creep. We've talked about stakeholder personalities. And today, Ryan, you'll be joining us for the importance of planning. But before we get started, why don't you take a brief moment to introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. Like Ann said, I'm an operations manager and senior project manager at Haven. We do web development. A lot of our clients are gaming, which is really cool. But basically, we build websites, interactive tools, and different things for engagement, some marketing as well.
Yeah, they've definitely got a lot of fun projects. So if you ever have a chance to check out, just I think Haven Agency is also on LinkedIn, right? And you have your own website as well, which we'll make sure we link to Haven Agency so you guys can check out the cool projects that they're working on. But Ryan, today we are talking about the importance of planning. I think as project managers, we all know that this particular stage in the process of all the process groups is critical to the success of a project. However, many people don't find the time, or I don't know if it's they don't see the value, but it's for whatever reason it may be, they can't figure out how to invest the time to plan and to properly plan and what are the right tools to do that and all of the things that go into this particular part of the process. So, planning. Why is it critical? Ryan, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I agree with what you said. There are times where certain stakeholders or people, they don't want to spend as much time planning. Either it's a overconfidence of something that they may have done before, or you know, it's simple. It's only a couple of things. I kind of always use the analogy of, would you build a house without blueprints?
Yeah.
So the planning stage is basically the blueprints. It's making sure all of the aspects of the project are covered, the timing to make sure you follow along with the schedule, make sure you have the right resources, and also to make sure that you can give the client or stakeholders timely updates on stuff. That's all part of the planning process. So I always kind of push back if they kind of say it's not important. Obviously, time is a big factor. Sometimes projects, like on our side, sometimes projects have to start very quickly. So sometimes I don't get the amount of time that I would like, but it's, you know, even if you have a day, a couple of hours, like whatever you can get, it's always important to do as much as you can to get the project planned out well and make sure everyone has, you know, the information they need to get started.
Yeah. And I love that analogy you make, right? Who's going to build a house without a blueprint? I think a lesser version of that analogy is you have the personality types that will get in the car and kind of by memory, try to get to a specific location. And you have the people who, every time they get in the car, even though it's the same location and they go there every single day, have to cue it into their map and make sure that they're going in the exact direction that the map is telling you to go in. And I think when it comes to project manager personalities, we've got kind of that divergence of the project managers who, to your point, are very confident in what they do and that they've done this project. Maybe it's a repeatable process, right? So they've gotten very comfortable. But the reality is for those project managers, even though you execute it 1,000 times, every single time is not going to be the same. There's going to be some sort of nuance or something that comes up that changes kind of the trajectory of the project. And then you have project managers like you, Ryan, who you want to go in with a blueprint. You want to be able to understand, you know, this is what the house is going, this is how we're going to build it. Here are our plans to get there. Now, I think as PMs, whether you're type A, type B, or whatever of those personalities, I believe we all understand the value of planning. Where the breaking point is convincing our stakeholders that the planning phase is equally as important as the executing phase and all the things that come after, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned it briefly, but I want to dig into that point a little bit about that tends to be the process or the part of our project plan that gets cut first is that timing that goes into planning, right? Because it could be that the stakeholders don't understand that what goes into planning and ultimately impacts what happens in your execution phase. And so it's about convincing them of the value of this part of the process. How long do you typically plan, Ryan? And how do you pitch that to your stakeholders to understand that I need this time? It's critical to my project.
It is variable, obviously, like level of effort on the project. Smaller project, you probably want a little less time to plan than a huge one. So a lot of it is basically getting the pitch from the client or stakeholder on what they're looking for. And then initially I will have, you know, meetings with team members and try to get a ballpark estimate of level of effort. And at that point, kind of break it down. And I want to have time to talk to the different, you know, areas that have to work on the project. So if it needs, you know, how much development is needed, how much design is needed. So it does kind of matter on the scope and also the complexity. Some clients give a lot of good information up front on what they're looking for. Other times, and this is the one where more planning is involved on our side, where they're like, we want a website that does this, but they don't really know what's involved with it. They may think in simple. So to try to get more time for planning, I typically try to give them as much information back based on here's what you guys are looking for. And to do that, we're going to need to do A, B, C, D, kind of go down the list and kind of mm-hmm. talk about the complexity of it. And then from that point, I kind of say, okay, we know what we need to do. Now we need to talk through specifics on, like, an example would be one of the projects we did a couple of years ago involved basically user interaction on the website. So it had like a point system where people can interact with stuff, get points, get levels and stuff like that. That was the idea, but like going down the rabbit hole, like what do you want them to be able to interact with? What kind of point system do you have in mind? In this case, we had to build the point system from scratch. So it's right. like going down the list of things and trying to figure out how much time we need to be able to accomplish this project. You're going to hate me. I can't give you a definite answer on timing, but to me, I would at least, if it's a fairly complex project, I would say 2 to 4 weeks. If it's a less something we've done before where there's some unknowns, but it's kind of something we've done more than a few times, maybe a week or two. I've had projects where I had literally one day to do it and that it was very fun. But yeah, I would say on average two to four weeks probably to have an efficient amount of time to plan out larger projects.
Hey, no, that's, and I it's not, it can be formulaic and it doesn't have to be, right? Every project is very, very different. And I think it's important to call out that even at Haven, you are working on websites, software. I suspect you lean heavily on an agile methodology, but it could also be a hybrid of agile and waterfall and whatever else is out there at this point, because project management has grown so much. So when you're listening to this and you're hearing Ryan say 2 to 4 weeks, you know, it's under the discretion of the project manager. If you can plan in a day, I don't recommend it. I don't think Ryan recommends it.
No, I don't. I do not.
I think two to four weeks is a fair estimate of time. Obviously, if you're working on building a rocket, I don't work for JPL or I don't work for NASA or anything like that. I imagine their planning phase is longer than 2 to 4 weeks. So I think what I'm trying to get at with the audience here is the scale and the magnitude of your projects. There's not going to be a one size fits all. 2 to 4 weeks is going to fit for everybody's projects, but in the projects that Ryan is describing, it fits for what they typically plan to. So I just want to make sure the audience is aware that this is a really good example of kind of how to benchmark yourself. And the way you would do this, if you're new to PM and you're, you know, trying to put together your first schedule for your company, look at historical data. What have other projects spent in terms of how long have they spent planning? Talk to other project managers who may have been there for longer than you. And then going back to Ryan's tip about inquire with your cross-functional teams. Just ask the question, how much time are you going to need? And then start to quantify that as part of your project plan and your schedule. So I think that was a really good example, Ryan, for the folks listening, of how you essentially got to that quantity or that number of 2 to 4 weeks typically is ideal. You don't always get it.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's where it's really important, again, for us to talk about why this part of the process is so critical to the success of a project. So most people don't spend the time planning. We'd already talked about how it's usually the first process that gets cut if you have to squeeze time. Let's get into the nitty gritty, like the details of everything here, of how you plan for your, let's say, medium scale, you know, traditional project at Haven. Are there any tools or techniques you want to walk us through, kind of how that process works for you?
Sure. So basically what I do is, obviously, once I know the scope and we have the outline of what the, you know, the scope of work and what we're trying to do, I typically do like a work breakdown structure of the items for the project, try to figure out who's working on what, try to figure out timing for everything to meet deadlines. And then internally we use a software called Jira. And in there we make all the tasks and break it out into the Kanban board, into sprints, and let people work on it from that to make sure, you know, we have all the sprint stuff planned, make sure everyone's workload is full, but not, you know, overloading, which is hard to do sometimes.
Yeah.
And basically just move stuff along throughout the project process, you know, taking any feedback, update those tickets in Jira, and kind of use the board as kind of the current status of what's being worked on. And it allows all the people on the team, from development, project managers, even design, to kind of take a peek at things and see where they're at, to let them know what's upcoming, maybe they have to work on, what's finished. And also letting clients sometimes take a peek in there to see what's finished, so they know, like, this is on staging, you want to take a look at it, give any feedback, make sure we can sign off on it, make sure it's completed to what they're looking for.
Yeah, you're making that blueprint, right? And it sounds like Jira is a great tool. Did you have any issues with adoption of that tool, or was it pretty user-friendly for everybody to hop on board and use?
I would say it's not user-friendly from the get-go. There's a lot going on in it. It also is up to the, like when I started here, I had used it sparingly at my last job. They had another project management system. What was it called? Favreau, I think. It was more, it's really more for PMs. Jira, it can be for anything. It's a lot, it's more focused towards like developers and development, but we use it for everything. But once you get to use it and you kind of know what you need to do, it's great for being able to keep track of everything. You can set, you know, deliverable dates, the sprint, who works on it. You can comment, tag people, share it, add subtasks off of it, link them all together. So it's very, very useful. And the more you use it, I think the more you use it, the more you get out of it, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to use it. They're kind of like, they'll just throw a comment in there. But if you really, also it can hook up to Slack, so you can get notifications when it's, you know, assigned to you or your turn and stuff. So there's a lot of benefits to using it. And it's, I typically just throw everything I can in there, because my brain is so full all the time, as small as it is, but as whatever I have, I throw it into Jira in tasks and comments and stuff. And it's easy to go back and look at that stuff and point to it, instead of saying like, didn't we talk about it in an email, or didn't we talk about it on Slack?
Yeah.
You could just point right to it and at people like, hey, here's where you can add assets, you can add whatever you need. So it's become a place where I track most of my project information.
Which I imagine, you know, is obviously you're using it when you're in the office. Right now we're in the middle of a pandemic, so having something as robust as Jira to track your plans, your schedules, deliverables, resources, all of that is probably very, very valuable being in this pandemic and having to work virtually with our teams as well. So it has everything that you would need to track everything that's happening in planning, you know? So I think whether it's Jira or something like Jira, if you are able to use that within your company or find something that will work with your company, whatever they're currently using, so that you can track all the things that are happening in the planning phase, would be fantastic for you as a PM. Just as a reminder, in terms of what you expect to get out of the planning phase, Ryan called all of this out. That's what they track. You should have your business requirements coming out of your planning phase. You should have your cost schedule, your list of deliverables. You should have your associated delivery dates against those deliverables. You should have ownership against those deliverables, right? You should also have resource plans established. And all of this kind of rolls up into that blueprint, that big blueprint roadmap, whatever you want to call it, that will take you through the implementation and execution phase of this. And for another podcast that Ryan and I have talked about, scope creep, we will not cover in this one, but this will help you understand what is creeping into your scope, what might be an additional ask into what you had already planned for. All of this documentation is really, really important.
Ryan. And I was going to say, yeah, especially with like tracking in Jira, when you have, you know, people adding comments and stuff, you have to set deadlines of when things are due. And if you start to see that it's not going to hit the deadline, it has to roll over to the next sprint, and then that pushes something else out. So you can see it start to bottleneck or push stuff out further. So it allows you to see what the item is and try to move resources or figure out what's going on to make sure that it gets finished on time, or if it does have to carry over, you know, what can be done to keep everything else on track. So it does kind of give you an idea when stuff starts to, you know, take a little longer than it should, instead of realizing weeks in that, you know, we're a week behind on something.
Right.
It kind of gives you an idea of what's going on.
Yeah. And it's your superpower, Ryan, in terms of as a project manager, you're able to really scrutinize each of these steps and understand what are all the mini steps, the mid steps, everything that it takes to execute against whatever deliverable it is that you're supposed to be, you know, as your output. And as a project manager, this is such a great skill set to have. And I do think it takes time to get really good at it, right? In terms of Ryan is an interpreter, because I imagine he does not get very clear requirements on day one. And he has to interpret and translate what is likely going to be very vague and qualitative commentary on what the end user wants. And he has to take those and try to quantify it into a plan that will make sense for his team to be able to actually execute work against. And that alone is an immeasurable skill that takes a lot of brain power. I know, Ryan, you said that you have a very little brain, but I do not believe that for one second. It's your superpower. It's the superpower as a project manager that you're able to do that translation and interpret it for your developers and your engineers and everyone who gets that plan after, to be able to understand what exactly needs to happen. And so where I'm going with this thought is it's a lot of work. Planning is a lot of work. And when we think about, let's just say 2 to 4 weeks is our baseline, our benchmark of how long we typically plan, it's not a lot of time to do all of that in the given amount of time. And so what are some of those things that you do, Ryan, from a schedule perspective, just for your own sanity in some ways? Is there anything you do in terms of that particular timing that you give yourself? Is there a way you break down that timing so you make sure you get everything done?
It's obviously, and also another issue is, you know, nobody likes to have meetings. Nobody likes to do calls. So you have a week, but you also have to make sure you have people to talk to during the week.
Yeah.
So trying to find time to make sure you're able to talk to all the individuals that, you know, on the project or can give you valid, you know, and we'll probably talk about pre-mortem eventually, but I like to talk to anybody that's worked on something similar to get an idea. But the first thing I try to do is make sure that I have a good idea of what the client is looking for. And I usually spend the first few days kind of doing that myself. So like you said, which I'm 100% in agreement, the project management, the longer you do it, the better you get at it as far as experience and being able to, like what you said, a client says they want this, that can mean a lot of things. So my job is to make sure that they get what they want, even if they don't think they need it. Mm. So if I know if someone says, I want a page that does this, I'm like, okay, Every other time I've done something similar to that, eventually they're going to ask for, you know, X, Y, and Z also. So I, when I, in my side, I, when I talk to the teams, I'm like, they're looking for this, but I know they're probably going to want the, going to want these things. So I'll kind of make those as follow-up notes. So that I can go back to the client when I have the scope and be like, okay, you guys asked for this. It's going to take this amount of time. But typically we also, when we do this, someone also wants these things. Would you like these? If you do, it's going to be this amount of extra time. And a lot of times they're surprised by that, because either they'll be surprised that like, oh, we didn't even think of that, but we will want that. Or someone took the time to do that. I've had other projects where I do that and they're like, typically, like, knowing us and stakeholders, like, we'll ask for something, someone will build it, but then they'll ask for that stuff down the line, and then it's either scope creep or something added after the fact.
Right.
So kind of giving them that upfront helps the project. But typically, I try to plan out the time that I'm given for the initial planning for myself so that I know what to ask my team and the client. And then after that, I'll set up calls to go through the individual teams. And then at the end, I like to save myself a couple of days so I can, you know, go through my notes, go through things and come up with not a presentation, but some kind of document or something so I can hop on a call with the client and go through the points for the different aspects that they're asking for and the timeline and the breakdown and make sure that letting them know. And also, like I mentioned, me and you were talking before we hopped on the recording, but I do tend to pad the time estimates fairly well when it's available, because I always know there's never enough time. So I always make sure that we have time in case something pops up, or if, for example, if we're really busy and resources get moved around, or if a project takes place during summer, when if there wasn't COVID, people take vacations or Christmas. Sure. Yeah. So, you know, you have to be able to plan around that stuff, knowing that, hey, people are going to be gone, so we're not going to be able to get as much done. So yeah, if I'm given two to four weeks, I'll do the 2 weeks. I would say the first 2 to 3 days is me going through stuff, and then probably a week talking with team, and then the last day or two getting my notes together to give information back to the client.
Yeah. And see, that's super robust and in a short amount of time. You're interacting internally, externally, you're going through making the interpretations and the translations of the requirements into time and people. There's a lot of effort that's happening in that short amount of time. And just even in that time that Ryan talked through, that can make or break the success of your project. And I really hope that as project managers, we are successful in making sure that other stakeholders, especially leadership, those that actually have to approve the timing, understand the value of that. And so every day that we chip away at the planning part of the process can add something later on, as Ryan was talking about. It can add scope creep later on. It can add a risk later on that we could have anticipated if you didn't take that time away from us. And so maybe this is just a love letter or a call to action to our leadership teams about the fact that planning is so important. And I just don't want to lose sight of that, because it often is one of those phases that you kind of just pass through very quickly and forget about. So we don't have to go into too much more detail about pre-mortem, but you did talk about that. And I want to make sure that people understand the value of that. There's a whole nother podcast that talks all about pre-mortems, but Ryan is one of not that many PMs that I know in my network that actually uses pre-mortems and finds that to be a successful piece of their planning phase as well, which is, you know, taking a look back, a retrospective of previous projects, and what did we do right? What did we do wrong? And what is something that we can take away from that project we worked on before and make sure we don't do it again if it was a bad thing, or make sure we amplify it if it was a great thing. And so that little technique alone is something that we can absolutely do. And Ryan, I also think pre-mortem can work in our everyday lives, right? We hate repeating things that we did that were messed up or something that we didn't do quite right. It's your opportunity in your life when you can take it to redo something, especially if it's something that's repeatable. Maybe I don't stop for coffee on my way to the office next time, because every time I do, I'm 5 minutes late, you know, just like little examples like that, where you can think about little things that you do in your life that if you get a second chance or you have an opportunity to do it over, how would you do it differently to make it better for yourself? And so that's essentially kind of a summary of what pre-mortem is. And also everyone's heard of post-mortems, which happen after the project, but a pre-mortem is great to have in your planning phase as well. Is there any other tools, techniques, words of wisdom? Ryan, again, thoroughly impressed by how your company executes things. You hit a lot of points that I don't hear from some of my other project manager friends in terms of, you know, your company utilizes a lot of the tools that some of my other friends probably wish they had. And so is there anything else in terms of tools or techniques or guidance that you would like to impart on our listeners?
Thank you, Anne, for the kind words too. I think, obviously, like I mentioned, a lot of it is getting to know this stuff. When I had first started, like, I was like a chicken with the head cut off, running around doing everything, like not kind of being focused. I think being focused is a big one. Obviously, time management is huge. And something that other PMs kind of were like half joking with me when I first started, but I typically give, like when I'm creating those Jira tickets for tasks and stuff, I spend a lot of time on that. I make sure that everyone gets, you know, all the information they need, examples, screenshots, whatever I can give them to make sure that they have enough information to be able to do what's being asked of them in the time that they want. I'm kind of doing it as saying, like, if I had to do this, what would I want? I want to give them everything so that I don't have to worry about them not knowing what to do, taking too long, you know, making a judgment call, anything like that. So I tell everyone when I'm onboarding new PMs that the more information and time you spent planning and creating that ticket, the less you have to worry about it in the future. Obviously shit happens, but the more stuff you give them, the less you have to worry about it, that they're not getting the clear, you know, picture of what you're asking for them. So yeah, it's just staying on top of it, giving everyone the information they need and doing, you know, frequent check-ins and, you know, staying on top of everything.
That's great. Yeah. And the recipients of your plan are very lucky because some PMs don't spend that much time or think about it in that way. So that's such a great tip, is think about the end user and what you would want to receive if you were that person. Fantastic, Ryan. I am taking that for myself as well and changing my perspective. So I appreciate those words of wisdom, and I'm sure the audience does as well. That will do it for Ryan and I in this installment of the Everyday PM podcast. Ryan, again, it's been a pleasure having you on, sharing your wisdom, sharing your knowledge of what you guys do at Haven Agency. If folks want to continue the conversation about planning or anything else project management related, where can they find you online?
Yeah, obviously I'm on LinkedIn and also on Twitter at rymyers25.
Fantastic. And you can also find me on LinkedIn as well. Make sure to also check out theeverydaypm.com for more blog posts, podcasts, and mentorship opportunities as well. So support the Everyday PM podcast by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcasting platform you're listening in on. The Everyday PM podcast is also available on Spotify, Google Play, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, there's a lot of here, Radio Public, Anchor, and most podcasting platforms. Did not know there were that many. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, everyone, take care.